every single thing on God's green earth has a frequency. And that includes ourselves, and within ourselves, that includes our organs, our cells, et cetera. And basically, if the frequency becomes, I love you, I feel you say out of tune, right? Because you always use the musical analogy, which I'm a musician too, so I like that. Basically, if something's not at the frequency it should be, then you can mirror it with the amp coil. You can basically play the frequency, and eventually your body's going to want to play at that appropriate frequency and stay there, kind of like muscle memory.
Welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on the show, we explore the survivor's journey, practitioners making a difference, and the therapeutic treatments and transformational technology that allow the body to heal itself. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. We are cruising through season three here, and I have a very special guest for us today. They're always special. And this one has been on my list for a long time. In the amp coil universe of pulsed electromagnetic field and frequency delivery, one of my favorite, we'll call it success stories, is Angela Ballard, who is, as we're going to find out, a registered nurse and a healer, and has an incredible survivor story. And we're going to jump right into that. Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. Angela, so you are someone who is familiar with Lyme disease, you're familiar with mold toxicity, you're familiar with biotoxin illness, whatever you want to call it. You know, if you and I got to my favorite new way to frame this question, so we get like this concise answer. If we were riding an elevator for like 20 or 30 floors, and you had to tell me, what was it like for you at the onset of your chronic illness? Can you timeline us through that story a little bit?
Oh, the elevator version. It was like I was dying. It was really bizarre, because there's the very logical side of me, and there's my nursing training. And then there's just you as a human and your intuition. And I could actually feel my body. I could feel my muscles atrophying. I could actually feel just like I was, it's so hard to put into words, like my body was just going away somehow. It was a really bizarre feeling, like my large muscles would almost feel like they were tickling or something, but I would just be laying on the couch. And it was just this sense of, like, I know this isn't good.
How old were you when the idea of this isn't good started to happen?
So this particular episode started when I was 40, I want to say 40 or 41. And, you know, week leading up to the elevator version is that I've really been ill my entire life. And that's a very long story. I'm working on a book. But this, I tell people that I meet nowadays, I got real sick about 5 years ago or so, because that's really when everything I had ever experienced across my entire life all surfaced simultaneously for the first time ever. And, you know, with the volume up like 100.
And if we had to ask an allopathic medicine doctor, what were you diagnosed with when all symptoms converged in this one moment?
Right. So that's another interesting thing. I did actually go to one allopathic doctor, and, you know, so like so many other people, that just ended very quickly. It did not go well. And I didn't go back, even though she was my, you know, study physician at the time. I did go to like a Lyme literate rheumatologist, and he was like, yeah, Lyme. And he had tested me for a few other things. But basically what I'm getting down to is that I never really got much in the way of a diagnosis. Probably the most firm diagnosis I ever got is the term that, I forget if it's Horowitz or Rawls that coined it, but it's the MCIDS, right? Multiple chronic infectious disease syndrome. And that's really what my labs showed too, was I just had all of these pathogenic lab values that were off the charts, even though most of my other values looked like I was a real healthy girl.
Yeah. What were some of those? If you can remember some of the, just to throw out some labs that were off and indicated a state of dis-ease in your body.
First of all, what's really interesting, just not like to go back into the pre-period because that's such a long story, but when I had to move, you know, at one point in my illness, I had to transition out of my house. And so I was digitizing a bunch of my old files to make the move easier. And it was the first time I had ever sat down and actually thumbed through all of my lab work that I had kept from like my entire adult life. And I'm like, this is interesting because I've always been told that I'm the portrait of health. And like, I'm a nurse. Even I look at my lab values. So this just goes to show with the training, the allopathic training, how I wasn't even looking at myself holistically, but my white counts and my eosinophils were askew on every lab report multiple times a year for decades. I find that fascinating. You know, looking in hindsight, I'm like, how did I, you know? But I was always just told, well, that's, you have allergies. We know you have allergies. That's why. And like, oh, the white count isn't bad off. So there was that. And then, you know, in the last 5 years, basically I had bands on the Western blot for Lyme, you know, of course, never CDC positive, right? But I had bands. And the more into my treatment I got, I started showing more bands, which is kind of, I think, typical too, because your body starts seeing and responding, you know, and you pull things out of deep tissue. My viral counts were really impressive. My Epstein-Barr, my cytomegalovirus, my HHV6, all of those, you know, that tend to kind of cluster together in someone like me, they were literally, I think my Epstein-Barr counts and CMV counts were like in the 400s. And then my HHV6, they just stop counting. They just go, you know, they count like something like 0 to 10. And then when you're after 10, they're just like, yeah, you're higher than 10. We're not going to bother anymore. It was obvious that everything had come out of dormancy and like started having a little party in my body.
Yeah. So we've got this, we've got some bands. And for people that are new to the world of Lyme, for people that, you know, you casually said, of course, the CDC didn't indicate that I had a positive diagnosis. So can you just explain that for people, the number of bands and how that would qualify with a positive or negative diagnosis as far as standard testing goes?
Yeah. So I believe the CDC requires a minimum of 5 bands to be positive before you can officially be diagnosed with Lyme disease. And the reality is that most people who are in the chronic stage, like I am, where things are just coming out of dormancy, you're like never going to hit 5 bands. I mean, if I didn't have to move and I had stayed working with the Rolfer that I was working with, you know, and I had let him just dig and dig and dig into my deepest tissues for a few more months, who knows, maybe I would hit, I did get up to 4. Mm-hmm. So maybe I would have hit 5. My understanding is that there's a certain band numbers that are a little bit more telling, you know, there's certain little protein pieces, you know, or whatever it is that they're looking for that are a little higher indicative of Lyme versus others where you're sort of putting them together and creating a picture. And I had a little bit of both. I had some of the ones that make the picture, but I didn't have all 5. And then I had one or two where I went to some Lyme literate doctors and they're like, yeah, like there's no way I would not diagnose somebody with Lyme if I saw this panel. Depends on who you're talking to.
You had indicated a pack up and a departure from your home or moving home. Can you kind of walk us through that decision process and what that was for you? What happened that you packed up?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first 3 years of this were definitely the roughest. And the thing about the first year was that I call it spinning because you're just trying to learn and make sense of everything because this isn't presented to us an easy to understand way. It's not really presented even to medical professionals, right? That's why we're all out here doing the DIY thing. So that was a really rough year, just spinning. I was at that point, I told you, I knew I could feel my body. I knew how bad it was. I tried some real big, I mean, I worked for 5 years now. I mean, I've worked at this like I've never worked at anything in my life, you know, because what else is there besides ourselves, right? The body you're living in. But I got to a point where I just knew. I think it was the point where I got to the acceptance piece of, oh, I can't like take a Z-Pak for this, you know, like this is going to be a thing for a little while, you know, not that I want to like will that into being, but I was like, this is what's happening. So literally, I was just trying to do some math and I'm like, I cannot stay in this house. I'm single. You know, there's no other earner. It's just me paying my bills with really, you know, no help. So that's what it came down to. And it was also the physical, I couldn't take care of myself at all. I mean, I could get to the bathroom. I could warm up, like I could pull food out of the fridge if it was already there. But I was so sick that I just couldn't do any more than that. And it was getting really out of control. I actually reached out to a friend of a friend who I knew usually did kind of like work that was broken up. He did jobs as opposed to like having, you know, something where he was committed all the time and he lived on a boat. And I reached out one night in total desperation and just said, hey, you know, it's me over here. Like this is not somebody I talk to, you know, frequently. And I just said, is there any chance you want to like get off that boat and like hang out in San Diego for a little bit and help me out for free, room and board? And he did, thank God. And that bought me another 3 months. Mm. He took care of me. But then financially, I wasn't at a point where I could see working anytime soon. So I put everything into storage. I gave up my house. And I'm really fortunate to have a brother and sister-in-law out here on the East Coast that they had just opened a new business that's an actual little two-room bed and breakfast in their own home. And they're like, we'll make it work. So that's my brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what brought me to Connecticut, which actually isn't home. Connecticut, I did a couple of years here. I got my nursing degree in Connecticut because my brother helped me back then too. But this was never actually my home, but it is now. It is now. We'll just leave it at that.
And what was that like emotionally for you to pack up and move back home with family? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah. I mean, so one thing I've really learned about myself through therapy that I've done the last couple of years is that I have been basically living my entire life in survival mode for a lot of other reasons that go further back into the story. So I'm the kind of person that even though that's a devastating thing to have happen and just to not, I was just watching everything that I worked so hard for. You know, I had this great little life. Like I was single, but I rented this amazing little bungalow in San Diego, like right on the north end of downtown. I had a great job. I had a really sweet convertible. Like I had this like seemingly really great life, even though now looking back, I'm like, oh, it was so superficial. And I was just watching it being taken from me piece by piece by piece by piece. And as hard as I tried, there was nothing I could do about it. And I really wasn't getting the help or the support I needed. And so I think at the time, my point about me living in survival mode is that I don't think I actually processed my emotions. I think I was just like, okay, so the deadline is to be out by this point. You know, I called the moving truck, you know, it was like all the logistics and I was really good at logistics. It was a big part of my career at the time, but I don't think I really processed that until I finished the move and I got on this end and it was just kind of like, I don't recognize my life anymore. What is going to happen to me? You know, that was, what's the word for it? Big. You know, that was big.
It's a big shift. So you're home with your brother and, you know, you've at least got support financially. You've got a place to live.
Yep.
You know, at this point, when did things start to turn around from you? I know we could easily go down the list of practitioners and different modalities that you tried that didn't work. You know, maybe that's right. Helpful for people also just maybe there's a short list of things that you tried that didn't necessarily yield more energy or less pain or better muscle tone, if you could pull up anything from that list.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, in sticking with the elevator version, because, you know, of course, I don't want to create the illusion that like this was so simple or anything. But In hindsight, yeah, it is. I definitely have a lot of clarity at this point. I like to think that everything, and I mean, I'm one of these people that I just drained all of my life savings. And I just was like throwing money everywhere and seeing what stuck kind of a thing. So I really did try a lot. And I like to think that all of that did something for me. Like all of it is part of the journey. It all brought me to where I am now. maybe some of the results weren't as impressive as others, or I have a theory because I've read so many other people's stories and I listen to a lot of videos and podcasts, and I feel like there's a tendency for people to think that the last thing they tried is the one that worked. And I just don't, I'm like, I don't think it works that way. I think probably it has something to do with the fact that I've been detoxing my body for 5 years now, you know, albeit via maybe, you know, I did one thing the first 6 months and then I tried something else for the next 3 months. And then I, you know, but I was still doing things that hopefully contributed to my health along the way. But there was a huge change a year and a half, 2 years ago. And that was when I have what I call the Desert Island Five. I've heard other people on, you know, on video and audio talking about, like, if I was stuck, I'm trying to remember if maybe Chris Wark, you know, Chris Beat Cancer, if he's one of the guys that's like, if you're on a desert island and you can only pick, you know, three or five of the things that you ever tried. And I love that because I have a list of five. I know exactly what they are. So first one is my diet. I work harder at nutrition than I probably do at anything else. And I say that probably just because it's the most work. but it's just such an obvious thing to me. Even though I'm doing so well now, I never stray too far. I know what it takes to be living this way now. So I do the work. So the diet, and I personally follow Medical Medium right now. Anthony William, the Medical Medium dude. I had a friend, you know, it's funny because people have been telling me about it the whole 5 years. But when I was committed to other things, I was not receptive because it was that spinning. I'm like, I'm already doing this. You know, you get about a million suggestions from people and you can't do them all. So it was just at a time and it resonated with me. And I was like, you know, I've plateaued. I wanted to do something different. And so I'm like, now's the time. I'm finally going to like read this dude's book and, you know, listen to some stuff and try it out. And shortly after, so this was January of last of 2020, I kind of tiptoed in, and then February, I was really sick and I thought it was my chronic stuff, but I think maybe I was just sick at that time actually. So I had like a little exacerbation of symptoms. And then that was actually, see, this is all part of the journey. That was actually a blessing because being knocked down like that made me get serious about a few other things. So I had already been on the Medical Medium, you know, food for like a month. And then when I was struggling, I was like, you know what? Like I've got my Amp Coil, I've used it, but I'm going to get like real serious. Like I'm going to start using it every other day religiously because I can't, I was home, you know, and I still wasn't working. So I could. And I also had an idea. I had just purchased Annie Hopper's DNRS program and gone through that material. And it just really, my brain was so laser focused on the limbic loop, you know, and the chronic stress and everything she talks about in that system. And so instead of sticking with the DNRS little, you know, method, I was like, well, it just seems like if that's the cause of this stuff, why wouldn't I just use my Amp Coil on Relaxol like all the time for a while and see if that gets me out of my limbic loop. And that's what I did. And it totally did. I started getting phenomenal results. And a little bit into this, which now I don't know if it's because I was pulling or if it was because I had had a rough February, you know, because I had gotten sick, but I started getting these really gnarly headaches. And the first of all, the most amazing thing about that was that I was like, oh my God, a headache, because I had lived every single day of my life up until this point with chronic headaches. And I'm talking so bad that I'd be like in the emergency room three times a week, getting shot up with stuff. So I had gotten to the point, this is why I'm like, you really can't totally discredit all the little things that maybe you didn't think helped a lot, but like I was detoxing because all of a sudden I was like, oh, my head. And then I literally realized like, oh my gosh, if I'm complaining about my head, that means this isn't my baseline anymore. But that made me get my Ion Cleanse foot bath out. And I'm like, you know, I've been really bad about using the foot bath. Like I'd kind of let go of it. Mm-hmm. I was just so tired and I had a big routine and I just was being a little lazy. So I started coiling and foot bathing religiously every other day. I'd coil, I'd go straight to the foot bath, coil, foot bath. So this was basically late February, March. By April, I was out jogging And in June, the first week of June, it was like June 8th, I remember, because it's my best friend's birthday, was my first day back to work. And I've been working ever since, you know, albeit part-time-ish, you know, but still, I've never had to make a sick call. I don't miss commitments anymore. I mean, this is night and day. And it all happened in that last little period. And so again, I'm not discounting all the things that came before that, but I know what my Desert Island Five is. It's my amp coil, my foot bath, my food. I do a little yoga. I make sure I move every day. And I'm in therapy. I do EMDR trauma therapy. And that is huge. That's not to be discounted either.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, for people that might hear this for the first time, because we sort of breezed right over coiling, I want to just, in your words, what would you say, just for fun, what would you say amp coil is?
Oh, yeah. That's a tough
one. Let me put you on the spot.
I tell people, well, it's funny because I've just been asked this question a couple times this week. I'm brushing up on it. I just tell them that every single thing on God's green earth has a frequency. And that includes ourselves. And within ourselves, that includes our organs, our cells, et cetera. And basically, if the frequency becomes, I love you, I feel you say out of tune, right? Because you always use the musical analogy, which I'm a musician too, so I like that. Basically, if something's not at the frequency it should be, then you can mirror it with the amp coil. You can basically play the frequency and eventually your body's going to want to play at that appropriate frequency and stay there, kind of like muscle memory. And I try to, you know, because I always have to gauge who I'm talking to. So my first question is usually like, have you ever even heard somebody talk about frequency therapy or frequency devices or like the frequency of trees or the earth or anything? You know, I kind of like see where are we at here, you know, before I decide how to go next.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Testing the waters. I think that's good. I would say I do a similar thing. And, you know, whenever I'm describing how everything has a vibration or a resonance or a note, you know, the person starts to look like an orchestra or a collection of musical instruments. And what we're doing is we're retuning the things that are out of tune through the process of entrainment. So over time, when you hear the lesson again and again and again, we pick up the right cueing, right? It would be just like going to yoga class. You know, you remember, I don't know if you remember your very first yoga class, but I remember mine. It was painful. I remember like fumbling through this class and all the movements were foreign and all the positions were foreign and the cueing. And I was like, I remember looking around, I'm like, how are people following along? Like they know the whole class. Is this a memorized pattern? And it wasn't, but people knew the vocabulary. So in that way, Amp Coil is giving us this vocabulary and this language of frequency. You know, we'll get a frequency for the vibration of the liver or the gallbladder, or maybe it's skin. Yeah. And what's amazing to me is being on the system, you know, especially just this last week, had a very unique experience, but running specific journeys that are associated with different areas and feeling that area of the body vibrate. Do you know what I mean? Like there's like lower hormones is one that always like blows my mind. You feel the tissues that generate lower hormones in the body move and vibrate or run something like higher self. And I'll track my predominant brainwave states and I'll watch my gamma waves increase. Like the idea that there's programs that are labeled positivity, relax all, and higher self, and you'll actually have those states occur after playing a journey on the amp coil, to me is still, it still blows my mind that software people can write software for the body. Hi friends, I hope you're loving the show. Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. One of the consistent biohacks in my home is red light therapy or photobiomodulation, if you want to sound fancy at a dinner party. Now, red lights have been clinically shown to help with a plethora of health benefits, including increased energy, better circulation, increased testosterone production, workout recovery, hair growth, and even help with fine lines and wrinkles on your skin. There are even multiple studies showing benefits with Alzheimer's patients.
personally, this is something I recommend for most of my clients to have in their home for its incredible benefits and relatively low cost. Now, from my research, LightPath LED continues to innovate their designs, and they include multiple wave panels and pulsing. With this initial research showing a greater depth of penetration and benefit to mitochondrial health, which, if you're a fan of the podcast, you know this is the moving target when it comes to wellness. Mind the mitochondria. So check out lightpathled.com and use code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN, all lowercase, for a 10% discount in the checkout. The inventor and founder, Scott Kennedy, is a true gem of a human being and stands behind every light that he sells. This is a Beautifully Broken podcast, stamp of approval, 5 stars. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah. And I've never been one of those people that can actually feel, I'm not like, oh, I feel it in my kidney, or like, it feels cooler, it feels like this, or, but I always get the results. And I'm actually working with, informally working with a friend of a friend that's out west right now that reached out to me for help. Cause it's, she's in that, you know, that early stage where you're just trying to like sort through all the, mm-hmm. I actually quoted you to her, you always say we're thirsting for knowledge, drowning in a sea of information, or something like that, mm-hmm. you know? And yes. That's my favorite. Cause I'm like, that's exactly what it is for like your first year where you're just like, you know, everyone's got an opinion and you don't know what to make of what, but anyways. And so this gal, she just texted me. So I said, you're in a great area. I know there's going to be ambassadors or there's going to be practitioners, you know, close enough to you. Try to check out the AMP coil. And I, you know, we had had the conversation about kind of like breaking the limbic loop. And so she was able to find one right away. I was so surprised. Like within 2 days, she's like, I'm going to go try the AMP coil. And she texted me yesterday and she's like, that was amazing. I'm like, I feel amazing. And she's like, I wear an Aura ring. And she's like, my HRV. And I forget what the other metric, you know, she's like, they were completely different after one session. And, you know, I was so happy for her. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, I had an intuition that she was going to be like, this was going to be a good thing for her. You know, I feel like some people are a little more open in the first place to frequency, you know, not that everybody isn't going to get there, but some folks are just a little more maybe familiar, open-minded, tapped in. I don't know what to say, but anyways, but that was awesome. And I didn't even know that she had that Aura ring until she told me, and she was like, oh my God, my HRV was completely improved. And
yeah, so, I think, you really know, cool. like you said, everybody has a different energetic field. So myself, the very first time I put the coil on my body, like my teeth were buzzing and my ears were moving. Mm-hmm. You know, I could feel energy zinging all over my body. And I was like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand it, but not everybody perceives energy in that way. You know, we're all mm-hmm. wired differently and our fields are different. And there's many different things that can come into play to indicate how you would experience magnetism and frequency. One could be your minerals. One could be how much excess voltage that you're carrying around. Right. You know, people should be essentially neutral. Some people are carrying around a lot of voltage, and you can actually just do this with a little a monitor. You can test how much voltage you're carrying around. It can be things like your energetic design. And so everybody's going to be perceived differently. The thing that I love is because I am a data person and I love to track heart rate variability, SpO2, resting heart rate. You know, I look at that every single day. So I'm measuring how my body is in a state of recovery. And Aura Ring gives you that metric. BioStrap gives you that metric. And whether you perceive sensation or not, I can usually watch that data go up even after a single session in someone. And I think what you found out through experience and your experiment and saying, I'm just going to run relax all every other day until I break this freaking loop, you know? And so your body started to, you know, my experience, my thought after listening to you, the AMP coil didn't heal you. Your body knew how to jog, knew how to produce enough ATP to get you up, out, and exercising. It was reminding your body that you're safe through Relaxol, coupled with, you know, and I like to say that the foot bath is like pulling the drain on the kitchen sink, right?
Yep.
You know, we're letting some of the garbage go. So you had that 1-2 punch that on repetition, you know, you just kept at it and you believed that it worked, and it did. Yep. Like here you are on the other side and you're working again.
Yeah, actually, you just made me, I have a thought that I had never had before, which is because I had been using, my ambassador's amp coil. Now I could only drive over there once or twice a week because she was decently far away from me. But, you know, I had been using it for probably 6 months before I was financially set up to get my own. And then I had my own. I was like tinkering around, you know, getting the hang of it for a few months. And I did have some strong reactions to the other programs I was trying to run. And so I had gotten a little nervous and shied away. And then when I had this idea, I was like, I'm just going to go for it. But the other thing was what happened in between those two periods, the period before and the period where I was like, I'm just going for Relaxol, was I changed the diet. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all of these really good mineral salts, right? I'm doing like the celery juice every day. I'm doing way more fruit than ever before. I might have hydrationally and nutritionally just been more receptive as well to the coil. And another thing, just personally in my experience, was just before this period, my brother had created a little apartment for me so that I had my own little space. Because for the 2 years prior to that, I was living out of cardboard boxes and I had to move room to room because they were running a B&B. And so if a room got booked, I had to like skedaddle, you know, somewhere else in the house and like hide for a couple of days and then like switch back. And I was so grateful to have a roof over my head, but that basic, most basic element of safety and stability of just like knowing where you're going to sleep every night, it didn't exist for me for a few years. Even though I wasn't homeless, you know? And so I think just getting into a stable place too was a huge piece of breaking the limbic loop. You had mentioned the word safety and my mind just went boom, back to that memory of like, oh yeah. Cause I remember having no safety and security for a really long time. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing to me that like the way I see it now is for someone who isn't in a position to maybe change their living situation, their logistics, their, you know, whatever is feeding into their stress, they can still use a tool that's going to help, you know, give their body what it needs to get into that parasympathetic mode without necessarily having the luxury of, you know, making some other changes that are a little bit more involved. So, you know, it's like not everybody can like up and quit their stressful job, but you can get an amp coil. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Tell me about, you know, again, kind of listening to this from as a voyeur, you know, listening from your experience and, you know, you had an amp coil for a little while. You weren't really sure how to use it. You took a little break. You followed your intuition on how to go forward. You know, tell me about, in your experience, amp coil support or like some of the amp coil community, you know, what has that experience been like? Cause I know, you know, as somebody who has bought a lot of technology,
yeah,
you know, you open the box and here you are with this thing that until it gets into your home, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be it. This is the thing. And then you get it and you realize it's just this, you know, it's a piece of metal or a piece of plastic and some diodes, and maybe it generates a field or a frequency or good healing vibes, or it doesn't. But what has been your experience with, you know, having a support team and some of the community aspects that go along with amp coil?
Yeah. So I definitely don't want to create the illusion that like it was difficult to use or I couldn't figure it out, because it couldn't be easier. I mean, it's like you always say, it's total plug and play. And I mean, I guess it's probably feels a little more that way to me because I am a nurse and I have a pretty good understanding of the body just as my baseline. What it really was it was making the decisions of which programs I want to run and when and how often. And that's where it's really individual. And I mean, that could be true of anything, right? I mean, there could be a therapy, like I could go to somebody's office and go get a lymph drainage massage or go use their sauna, you know, or get acupuncture. And I don't have to know how to do anything but lay there, you know, and get work done. But what I have to know is, was that the right decision? Should I be doing this therapy? I'm not sure if I reacted really well to that one. Should I go again? How often should I go? So it's more like those decisions. It's not the actual device. The actual device is like really, really simple. Support's just there. You know, it's a company that like that you can talk to somebody. And there's not a lot of those these days, you know? So I'm a big fan of throwing my money places like that, where I know that somebody's gonna actually get on the phone if I want them to, you know, not that, I mean, I know there's like email option and everything else, you know, if people prefer that, but I really just need to have dialogue. Mm-hmm. So support has been awesome. And that, you know, it's funny. Sometimes the advice is really intricate and sometimes it's so simple, like just you're doing too much, you know, it's like when you're about to swing at the golf ball and they're like, watch the ball and it totally works.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the third part is like the community that you mentioned, because I'm sure you remember like Angie's foray into the Amp Coil community, because the monthly calls that we have, and of course this was right. So I ramped up in 2020. That was when I really started getting on the calls. I had my own coil, like becoming really active. And I always joke and say that the Amp Coil community was like 98% of my social life last year. Because, you know, I'm out here in like really rural Connecticut, you know, just with my brother and sister-in-law. I do not have a big social life. So I loved getting on those calls. But it's like I could actually feel the same kind of energy that would come like out of the coil during Relaxol is what I feel coming out of like my iPad screen when I'm on Zoom with the Amp Coil community. Like I feel so good after those calls, you know, even though it's like, I want to simmer down for the evening. I'm always like, okay, like, you know, do I want to do anything else in the kitchen tonight? Or I feel like I'm getting a whole nother coiling session every time I get on the call. It's such a great, and I was just, you know, I had a couple conversations this week about Amp Coil with some people, that probably will benefit from it soon here. And I always tell them about the community and the calls. And, oh, and I just had, this is how I prove to people that there was a time when I had Lyme disease really bad. Because I have no idea where I was going with that.
I love it.
It came and it went like as fast as it came. That still happens to me from time to time. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. This happened a few days ago. And I was like, just so you know, I'm not a fake. Like, I really have it.
I just watched a TikTok a TikTok video of a girl who is, you know, she had her reel on TikTok and it's like, she's like, let me tell you the thing about colonic Lyme and yada yada. And then she was just like, and the thing about it is, what was I saying? Right. And it's hilarious because she had like the title box that she was going to talk about infections and co-infections. And then she was just like, dot, dot, dot. She could not like pull it out. Yeah. It happens. Hilarious. It happens to everybody.
Yep.
It happens to everybody. And it's, but you know, back to the community and back to like what you were saying, the idea that we get on a call with other people and just listen to everybody else's experiences, how they're moving through this, how they're using the technology, how they're relating to other human beings that are also sick. For me was I had almost sworn off support groups, you know, because they can be very negative. It can be very much doom and gloom and people can all be focusing on, oh, do you have this symptom? Yeah, me too. This is terrible for me. Right. Terrible. As opposed to these calls where we get on and we share not chronic positivity, but really forced to examine, as you said, breaking the chronic loop with identifying as somebody who is always chronically ill, forced to examine what is working for us on an hour for a Zoom call. It's just an hour. And it's amazing once, and you think, you know, sometimes, because I host these calls in full transparency, you get on and it's sometimes the energy is just a little, it's just not there. It's not been lit into the room yet. And you need one or two people to give everybody permission to talk about how they've had a small win. And then for the rest of the hour, we don't say anything. And
floodgate.
People just start adding, oh my God, this happened to me yesterday. And I like pooped three times on Wednesday. And, you know, it's just very organic. And it's something that I think is, like you said, I believe it has just as much power as doing an Amp Coil session, but to be in community around these like-minded people.
Yeah. I think where I was going is that, like, in addition to that, it's a group of, like, I feel so comfortable recommend. I mean, it's a pricey device. Like, let's face it, you know, it's got a little bit of a high price tag. Not that, I mean, you get what you pay for, but I feel so confident recommending it to people because it's not, I'm always like, this is not some like MLM company. This is not like, these aren't the calls where they're trying to get, you know, they've got a couple people that are planted in there to tell their story and they get everybody to sign up. I'm like, that's not what it is. Amp Coil community is like a worldwide community of people just like you and me, who have their own long story, you know, and have their own, they're so genuine. They're so caring and giving. Like, it's this massive group of the most just, it's genuine. It's really genuine. And I love telling the story about Aaron and Geneva, you know, and the start of AmpCoil, because I'm like, these weren't just two people that set out to make a buck. These were two people that have a really incredible story, like the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, and did this beautiful thing for us, you know, with it. But I just love being, just knowing that I'm in a really, truly like safe, relatable community. And there's, it's all about the wellness and the people. And it's like, yes, it's a device that you have to buy, but it's, I never, ever feel like this company is about the sales or anything like that. It's so genuine. It's so supportive.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just to, you know, to keep going with your story. I mean, I don't want to assume that every single thing that's ever been wrong with your health, your bioterrain has been permanently fixed and you're 2000% now and there's nothing wrong. You know, if you could look forward into the next year, what do you want for yourself? Like, what are you dreaming about? Like, what's next as far as like what can come as far as improvements and what do you want to do for work? And tell me about all that stuff. Cause you've been home. You said you've been out of it for like almost 5 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So last June, I started working just part-time, you know, like maybe like 20 hours a week. And I've been kind of like plus or minus, you know, I've been really fortunate to have flexible options the last year and a half, but I just took on two extra clients, I do home infusion nursing right now, is kind of my, that's what pays the bills. And then everything else I do is like labor of love. Right. So I just took on a couple more clients because I had the confidence to do that. I'm like, you know what? Yep. I can do it. Like it's time. I feel confident. I'm not going to have to call out sick on these people. You know, I have to be really careful with these decisions because I do have to be realistic. You know, I can't commit to somebody's infusion and then like not show up. So that's a really big, I think that's why it was such a big deal for me to ever try to get back to work in the first place. Cause I'm like, I have a pretty high level job. Like if I have brain fog, I could really hurt someone, you know? So I always set my bar probably, you know, maybe a little higher, you know, than others would. So I think that it's so funny because this is a perfect question for literally right now today, because it's like, it's happening because that I'm at this point, I think like spiritually, if you will, to where it's so obvious to me the way the universe works. And so I just put things out there and I'm like a couple of days ago, I was just like, okay, spirit, so make sure I'm like staying on the right track. If there's something I should be doing or changing, like just, it's really funny. Whatever I'm talking to, like whatever I'm talking to, which is like, kind of like I'm talking to my own spirit, you know, I'm always like, but you know me, like you got to make it for dummies. Like you got to make it really obvious. But I asked for these things and I'm not kidding. In the last 3 days, I've had like three people, not from like right here where I live, but just blast from the past, somebody I don't even know, somebody new, reach out with almost the same kind of, they're just like, hey, how have you been? I haven't talked to you in a couple of years. Like I'm doing okay, but, and it's, so I'm like, you know what? I'm actually doing pretty good. You know, what's going on with you? And it all of a sudden, like the door, and they're just like, oh my God, please share with me. And so it's, I've been really asking and waiting for like, when's the right time? What am I going to do with this? Like, yeah, I really want to write the book. You know, I had dabbled over summer with an office, you know, offering AmpCoil and FitBath to people to kind of get a pulse on the local scene here in my little itty bitty town. But I kept putting that out. And then all of a sudden, my energy has been really good the last 2 weeks. And so the last 3 days, it's just like, bing, 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 here they all come. So it's so cool. And so I'm hoping that I can just build more and more energy so that I have the strength in the amount of time and energy that it takes for me to give to all these other people. I mean, that's what I love to do. I have real clear visions for what I want that to look like in the future. And I've got a four-tier approach, you know, and up here is like the BHAG, right? It's like the, like I've got this big, big, wild idea that I'm like, but I mean, there's nothing about it that says I couldn't execute it, you know, with the right resources, you know, if that's what I'm supposed to be doing, it'll happen. So I'm just trying to stay tapped in, listening, stay aware. And I love having the energy and the ability to do this. So I'm like, I want more, like greedy. I want more so that I can do more because I like it.
It's incredible. Angela, what would you tell somebody, you know, if you kind of, like we touched on in the beginning, if you had met someone and they're like week one of discovering they've got Lyme disease or mold toxicity, or, you know, this, we can just call it mystery illness, where they just don't feel great and they're lost in the sea of information around testing and functional medicine doctors and what to eat and what to not eat. What would you tell people to do first, just to be able to have clarity around direction to move forward? What would your advice be to that newbie?
Yeah. So, that's usually when people do reach out to me. So usually the first things I tell them is I just go, it's going to be okay. I know it doesn't feel like it. I've been right where you are right now, but like I'm where I am right now. So I try to just lead by example and, you know, and they do, even if I don't say that verbatim, they'll kind of by the end of a conversation be like, I have hope for the first time because they see that you're living proof, you know, which is, it's huge because the first year for me, I went through a real dark period, like real dark. And some of that was that Lyme really hijacks your thoughts, I think, to a certain extent. But some of it was that I just didn't actually see the light. Like I was like, there's no end to this tunnel. Like this isn't a lot, you know, I was in that place where I truly couldn't see it. So I like to just make sure that like they have that awareness, like, no, it's there. You're going to get there. It's going to happen. And then I'm usually like a little bit blunt about there isn't a Z-Pak. So you'll do yourself a service by just starting to shift your mindset to, I'm not going to keep doing the stuff, the band-aids that got me to this place. It's the long road. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to start slowly and steadily building, you know, this healthy body. And it totally is a thing. It's going to happen. You're going to get there. But if you change your diet and 2 weeks later, you're not out jogging, like, you know, we're going to like manage our expectations, right? And that's really easy for me to say now. 5 years ago, I mean, I was just like beating my head against everything, you know, because I had such pressure on me to just get back to work, just get back to work, just get back to work. I didn't work for 4 years. I was so sick, you know, but that whole first year, I really thought if I just do this thing, if I buy this thing or I do that, I'll be back to work in like 3 weeks, you know, it was a belief system that I had to shift. So really just helping people kind of open up to that idea of if this is really what you want, it's totally attainable, but this is what it looks like. And so like, let's start setting you up for the reality of going down this path. And the third thing I think is just, I tell people immediately, I'm like, tap into your intuition like you never have before. Because at the end of the day, the journey for me might not work for somebody else, right? The diet for me might not work for somebody else. It's so individual because I do think it's a spiritual journey that we're all on. And so it's learning. And I, as a child, I had a very strong intuition, but that became squashed over the course of my life. And I became so used to that I started squashing it myself eventually. And I had to like really turn it back on and tap back in. I mean, that's everything. That's how I end up buying the amp coil, right? That's how I end up making these decisions. It's all, you know, you're always saying to people, you know, what resonates with you, what resonates with you. And that really is the core of the journey, I think. So, just starting to talk the language and helping someone wrap their mind around the idea. Because trusting your gut, trusting and listening to your intuition is not the same thing as I'm really craving potatoes. That must mean that I need to go like eat a bunch of French fries. Totally not the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's like eventually if someone's not familiar with this, they'll get the hang of what it means, you know, and they'll have a couple experiences just like I did. And I'm sure you did along the way where it gets like proven to you and you're like, oh, oh, like I feel that. That's what that was. That's, you know, you start seeing examples of what it's like to really tap into your intuition, go down a fork of a road and get somewhere really great, you know, have a little win. And then it becomes easier and easier and easier.
Yeah, 200%. Well, Angela Ballard, it's so inspiring to listen to your story. And I know people are going to find benefit from this, just listening the timeline, what you went through. I think that if anybody is in our community or you want to reach out, you're always so kind and generous with your time. I really appreciate how you are open to connecting with people once in a while, because it's people want to hear from people that have actually been through it and put together this trail of clues. Success leaves clues to where they're at today. And I'm so excited to see what the next year brings and how much exponential energy and things you manifest into creation. So thank you for being here. It was an honor to have you on the podcast and share this inspiring story. And thank you for being a guest. Namaste.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you, friend.
Does anybody think that these health upgrades sound expensive? They can be an investment. But after truly learning how money works, the inflationary nature of our fiat currency, combined with the fact that big banks charged, are you ready for this? $34 billion to the poorest members of society, I knew I was ready for a shift. In my opinion, money is energy. And I've seen too many scenarios which compromised health is attached to financial distress. The energy is not flowing. And to break that cycle, it's going to take a new level of thinking to come up with a different result. Enter Celsius Network. This is my bank that's not a bank. Celsius is a place to store cryptocurrency safely and get an incredible return on your stored wealth. They share up to 80% of the revenue with the users, not the board of trustees, so you can earn up to 17.78% APY distributed weekly. I'd like to see a bank beat that. So what does that look like? Every Monday, I get a direct deposit of the money I've earned as a reward for joining the community on my beautifully designed app with this high-end customer interface. I've made over $2,600 by joining Celsius in just over 9 months. I've never made that in the history of time through my old, air quote, big bank. So they have 0% in withdrawal fees. Over 500,000 users and $10 billion in assets that are insured. And you can also use your crypto or borrow dollars or stable coins with loans starting at just 1%. That's correct. You can borrow from yourself and keep your own money and pay it back over the next 6 months to a year. Say it with me. Financial freedom is back on the market. So check out the link in the show notes to join Celsius. I've got a special offer to earn $30 in stable coins by joining the community. Please don't take this as financial advice, and everything I offer is an opportunity to do your own research and make the best choice for your abundance. Let the green energy flow so you can do more good in the world. My friends, you made it to the end of the podcast, and here we are in season 3. I think our relationship is developing into something really special. So there are two ways to support this show. The first is by joining my membership program at buymeacoffee.com/FreddieSetGo. Here you'll get early access to all the podcasts, bonus episodes, video clips, discounted coaching, and free webinars with thought leaders in the wellness and transformational technology industry. It's a chance to take your listening experience and put it into action. The second way is to support the podcast through FreddieSetGo.com and download the Beautifully Broken Buyer's Guide. This is my new ebook, which is a collection of transformational technology.